Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Becky. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. To our listeners, Becky is one of my favorite Disney influencers. She actually shares some tips and tricks and data of how to maximize your Disney visit. And she has done some epic content, which is the Universal Studios site. Right now, we do not recommend going to Epic because it's been rainy. So, but if you want some, if you're planning to go to Disney or if you wanted to actually understand and be lived vicariously through the Disney experience, follow Becky's account. We're going to talk about her book, which is The Unofficial Guide to Disney World, and it has all the tips and tricks, and we'll talk some Disney content. So this is perfect for not just Disney's great, not just for if you have little kids or bigger kids. You can also go as an adult. I've been solo travel to Disney. I've done it a couple of times. It is awesome. It is also going to go with friends, but it's also just go by yourself, and then you do the rides, eat the food, drink the drinks, and do your merry way. And you can always do a staycation in one of the hotels, and they have great pools and great food and all the different things. So we're going to talk all things Disney. So, yeah. So, Becky, take it away. Tell us about how did you get into the Disney world?
Oh, wow. Well, I've been going to Disney since I was about 18 months old. We live in St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis, so it's not like Disney is in our backyard. But yeah, we went about once every 3 years as I was growing up, and I just loved it as a place to vacation. Then I grew up, and as an adult, I met my husband. He had never been to Disney World since he was 5. And his his only memory of that trip when he went to Disney World when he was 5 was that he was not tall enough to ride Space Mountain. And so I was like, we have to remedy this situation. So I planned to take him for our first anniversary trip. We were going to do Disney. We did not have a big budget for that trip. So I was like, I need to be smart about how I do this. My boss at the time was like, you would really love this website called Touring Plans. And they use data to make Disney trips better and help you to spend less money and to avoid all the waits. Because my full-time job is data. I do data analytics. I'm an architect. Love the data. So I was like, I will follow this website and use their things. And so I did. I just used Touring Plans for that trip. And then from that point on, I sort of lived vicariously through the Disney data. When I couldn't actually go to the theme parks, I started blogging for Touring Plans, and being able to do that on the side as just a way to stay involved in the Disney even when I wasn't visiting. And then 2 years ago, Len Testa, who owns Touring Plans and who was the author of The Unofficial Guide from 2002 to 2024, asked if I would take over writing The Unofficial Guide for him. And so now I get to go to Disney like once a month to do research. And that is a fun and interesting combo of getting to go and be in my happy place very frequently and getting to try all these new things as I try to experience as much of what Disney has to offer so that then I can write about it and help other people. So lifelong Disney fan and lifelong math nerd. And so then these two things sort of converged into what I get to do today.
Yeah, I love your content because I'm a data person. I did not realize I was not a math person. And I stumbled upon data using, because I actually investigate fraud. And so a lot of the fraud investigations is data. It's just numbers. Yep. It's just look for patterns and everything. And a lot of it's just patterns and like what behaviors looking at. So I love your content because it takes the data part and data analytics and actually understand and make it understandable to a hobby, essentially. So it's like, how do you take your data and put it in? And so it just gives you like a sense of there's a math, there's a magic about going to Disney. It is not just simple. There's people who are really good planners and they have planned everything, but there are other people who are like whimsical and we're like, okay, what are the vibes? And it gives you a little bit of taster of what to expect. I love your content on Saturdays. There's what is actually happening or what's the strategy? Right. You're right. I know Disney has some issues with the restoration issues right now. And you give us like the inside knowledge of here's what the issue, here's what's working. Also, yes. The pipeline, that hotel resorts, like the resorts, like tips and tricks, yeah. It's like how to maximize your budget without losing money.
Right. Like we all want to go to Disney. Well, okay, not everyone, but a lot of people want to go to Disney. It is a very fun place, but it is a very expensive place and it is a very overwhelming place to vacation. Yeah. And when most people think of their dream vacation, it is not expensive or overwhelming. And so what I try to do through my online content, through the book, is cut through all of the options, all of the noise, all of the realities of rides breaking down and things that happen so that you have that chance to give yourself the best opportunity to not regret your budget, to not regret the time you spend in lines, and to actually have that fun vacation with your family instead of showing up and being overwhelmed.
Yes. And the book gets updated every year, I'm assuming, because you get to visit and get to go to the parties and understand the food and the specifics.
Yep.
Disney has a lot of special events going on.
Yes, it does. And a lot of things change every year. And so, yes, we release a new edition of the book every year. Now, the basics of Disney are going to stay the same. Resorts tend to not change that frequently. They did open a new tower here pretty recently. They have another one being built right now. So occasionally you do get things that change. The parks themselves, they're not going to open a new park anytime soon, and they haven't since 1998. So some of these things are stable, but some of them change pretty rapidly. And so it is good to know, even if you've been to Disney before but haven't been in a few years, what has changed, what's new, what you need to know so you're not caught off guard.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother about this. He was in town. We're like talking about both our Florida residents. So we get to enjoy the discount. And yeah. We're like, we haven't been in a couple of years. And there's Tiana. There's the Test Track. There's the Big Thunder Mountain is opening up next year. There's like a couple of things. There's new lounges. There's new food situation. And so it does change like a little bit. Like yep. Some major things have changed. And we got the Rock and Roll, the Muppets and their era and their space and stage lot. But yes. We now got the Rock and Roll Machine. And so there's always something new that's happening to keep the parks refreshed.
And especially these next couple of years, I think I'm hopeful that we're in something of a renaissance for the Disney parks. The pandemic was rough. Disney did not invest in its theme parks. No one invested in anything, so we can't blame them. But they also didn't maintain their rides incredibly well during and after the pandemic. So there was a lot of breakdowns, not a lot of new and exciting things in the park. But now they're starting to invest in the parks again. And so we're getting refreshed rides like Test Track and Big Thunder Mountain, but we're getting whole new lands that are coming to Magic Kingdom and other places. Animal Kingdom's getting a whole big new land. So I think the next few years are going to be especially exciting and a good time to be a theme park fan.
All right. So you have some tips and tricks. How do you recommend visiting Disney if you're thinking for an extended period of time or you're looking for a quick trip? What would be some of your strategies that you would suggest our listeners to pick up
now? Yeah. I think when you talk about an extended period of time, that's really where you're going to want to stretch your budget and make your money count. You're probably not going to want to stay at a Disney resort on site just because they're so wildly expensive. Unless I'll talk about a couple of tips and tricks for getting resorts cheaper. When my family and I go for an extended period of time, this summer we were there for about 2.5 weeks. We use VRBO or Airbnb to find a condo that's near the parks, but that's much cheaper and has much more space. So for instance, this summer we stayed at a resort called Oakwater Resort. It's about 6 minutes south of Animal Kingdom. It's 12 minutes away from Magic Kingdom. It's close to everything, but we got a 3-bedroom condo, 2 stories. There was an office den where I could do my work because I was still working virtually from there. Whole full kitchen, laundry, the whole shebang. And it was $100 a night for our 2.5 weeks. We couldn't have stayed in the cheapest Disney resort for that price. So really, yeah. If you're looking to extend your stay or you want more space, that's the way to go. If you do want to stay on site, because you do get perks for staying at a Disney-owned resort, like you get to get into the parks 30 minutes early, which means shorter lines on all the big rides. There are ways to save money on that, too. You should never, ever, ever be paying full price for a Disney resort. There are always deals to be had. Disney travel agents are free. Disney pays them. Like, you can go find any Disney travel agent and they should be free. There are some that charge money because they do extra things, but you can find free Disney travel agents who will help you find the best deals and even rebook your vacation on your behalf to save you more money, because that's their job. So you can get deals through Disney. They're running a lot of really good deals right now because the economy is not great. So people aren't taking vacations. But you can also do things. My two top tips for saving money on Disney resorts. One is Priceline. You mentioned that. Priceline doesn't always have great deals on Disney resorts, but occasionally they do. And especially during the fall is a really great time to use Priceline. Priceline has what they call express deals. They're hidden resort deals. But you can figure out which resort it is pretty easily. And I've used Priceline to get things like the Grand Floridian for $300 a night, which is more than 50% off, to get a family suite at Art of Animation for under $300 a night. That's more than 50% off. To get All-Star Resorts, which are cheap resorts anyway, but to get them for like under $70, which is unheard of. So if you can find a Priceline deal, that's a great way to do it. And then my last way to save money, I wouldn't recommend it to novices if you've never been to Disney before, but Disney has a program called the Disney Vacation Club. DVC is what you'll hear it. And those people are buying into a timeshare. So they pay Disney a big chunk of money and annual dues. And in exchange, they get points that they can redeem for nights at Disney resorts. But the vast majority of these DVC members don't use all their points every year because they buy too many or they can't travel down to Orlando, whatever the case. A bunch of reputable sites. DVC Rental Store is the one I personally use the most. There's also David's Vacation Club. These are very reputable, well-known sites that will facilitate renting someone's points to you so that you can stay at these fancy resorts at Disney for very cheap prices. So I've used this. I've rented points to stay at the Polynesian for $190 a night, to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge for $90 a night. These are deluxe resorts. They're the fanciest ones Disney has to offer. And you can get them for really cheap rates if you search around and are going at the right times. So don't pay a lot of money for your resort. Save that money for park tickets, which are a little bit harder to save money on, or experiences in the parks. So that's my number one tip for, especially if you're doing an extended trip. If you're doing more of a quick trip, definitely stay on site so you have more time in the parks with that early entry, and then spend all of that time in the parks to be able to soak up as much as you can. Park hopper tickets are great. They let you visit more than one park a day. You can taste a little bit of everywhere you want to go. But Disney, to your point, the way you entered this was just perfect. Thank you. Any style of vacation can be great at Disney. Even if you don't want to go into the parks, go hang out at a resort for a weekend. And there's so much to do there. And you will feel like you're in that magic bubble without the crowds and the waste from the attractions.
Like, you can always go to Disney Springs, which is free. And it's just like, they got like a little bit of here and there. They got some shopping. And then you can always go to the different, you can go to different hotels and hop. You can do a monorail happy hour and go to the different hotels there, drink into different bars. There's different take. I know there's another take. I know Disney tried to upsell their dining plan. I know this is like a very hot topic among the influencers because it's not a good bang for your money. Even though they make it seem like it's a good bang for your money, because it's like it's prepaid and you're just like, you don't have to think about your food. It's not all inclusive in the way you want to think it's all inclusive. Disney dining plan.
Yes, Disney dining plan is the bane of my existence. And I like that you said it's a hot topic with influencers, because I like to believe that started with me. I'm just going to call out the Disney dining plan whenever I can. So Disney is a company, and companies have to make money. Disney is not going to offer a program that doesn't make them money out of the kindness of their heart. And so this is true with the Disney dining plan. What the Disney dining plan is, when you book your resort and your park tickets, you get the option to add on a dining plan, which supposedly means your food is included with your vacation. In reality, you get a certain number of credits that then you can redeem for certain things throughout your stay. The problem is when you do the math, because Disney trusts that no one will do the math because it's painful to do all the math. But I did all the math. When you do all the math and pull every single menu item from every dining location across Disney, what you find is there's something like a 3% chance that you're going to make your money back for what you're paying for those credits. Now, there are certain situations where you can save money with the Disney Dining Plan. It is possible, but you have to be a very heavy alcohol drinker and you have to love things like character meals or steak for every meal or fancy seat, right? Like very constrained in what you can get that will actually put you ahead with the dining plan. It's not a look, you pay a small amount and you get to eat whatever you want. No, you pay a large amount and then you can almost eat whatever you want, but you're probably still not making your money back. So yeah, I always recommend, even for convenience sake, don't get the Disney dining plan. It doesn't include tips. So you're not prepaying for everything. Even if you use the Disney dining plan, then you have to pay tips plus some, any extra food that you want. Do yourself a favor, go buy Disney gift cards. If convenience is what you're looking for and prepaying for your food is what you're looking for, buy Disney gift cards once a month, once every 2 weeks before your trip, load it all up, and then use that gift card to pay for your meals. You can eat whatever you want and you can use it for gratuities. And so it's, you've prepaid for your food and it's all included. That's my tip. Do that instead of the Disney dining plan.
Yeah. And you can check, you may check your local Sam's or your local Costco. They may have a discount. I was in Puerto Rico and I saw Sam's actually have $4.75 for, I don't know, $500. Like they had discounts. So you can actually even get a discount if you have like a warehouse membership card. You might be able to get them too, even cheaper. Yeah, and that's where you save the money.
And then you actually save money. Yes, we do that. We have a Target Red card that saves us 5% on all of our Target purchases, including Disney gift cards. And so then, yeah, I'm saving 5% on my Disney food and still eat whatever I want.
Yeah. So you're traveling to Disney. What are some expectations? What are some of the game plan for this trip? Because I know Food and Festival is starting. I don't know. Beak doesn't open until next week or when?
No, it opens Friday. Yeah.
Oh, Friday. So, okay.
I don't know when this podcast is going to post, but we're recording this on a Tuesday night. And so Beak and Barrel, as we're recording this, opens in 3 days. So that's very exciting. So yeah, I'm going down to Disney this Wednesday through Friday. Typically when I do research trips, I have 2 kids at home. I have a lot of mom guilt about leaving them and running away to Disney. So my typical research trips are one night. Like I fly down at 5 a.m. to Orlando. I stay one night and I fly back that next morning, hoping to get back home before the bus picks them up for school. 24-hour just sprint trips. This is the one trip a year that I extend a little bit, and it's my treat yourself trip because it is the opening of Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. That's on Thursday. So this trip, what I'm doing is I'm flying down. I'm staying at the Grand Floridian for the first time with that Priceline deal. It's a nice resort. That's exciting. So I'm going to enjoy that a little bit. Then there's lots of new things at Disney. One of those new things is a steakhouse that's in the Swan Hotel, which is owned by Marriott, but is right by Epcot. That's another good deal. If you're a Marriott rewards member, there are 3 Marriott hotels right by Epcot that you can use your points at. That's another great way to stay. But that steakhouse was just replaced by a new restaurant called Bourbon Steak by Michael Mina. So we are going to go try that tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and see what that's all about, if it's good. Then Thursday is all day Food and Wine Festival. So if you've never been to Food and Wine Festival, there's something like 30 booths that pop up starting on Thursday and running through the end of November that have little snacks, drinks that are special, that are exciting, that are generally pretty good. We'll see what the quality's like this year. But I go with my friends who run the Main Street Dish podcast, and we try every dish and every drink throughout the day. And thankfully, like when you split it among that many people, it's okay. It's doable in a day. And then we talk about them all and rate them all and make recommendations to people. So that's all day Thursday. All Wednesday night, I'm going to go see the new parade at Magic Kingdom. I haven't gotten to see that yet. There's a new nighttime parade for the first time in many years at Magic Kingdom called Starlight. So we're going to go see that. And then Friday morning is when the Beacon Barrel opens. So this is the first bar slash lounge at Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom was pretty infamous for not even serving alcohol for a very long time. And it started to serve alcohol in some of its restaurants. And now there's a bar. So that's pretty exciting. It's at the exit to Pirates of the Caribbean. It is pirate themed. There are plenty of rum drinks, but it's also family friendly. You don't have to be 21 to go there. They have non-alcoholic beverages. They have food. So I got the very first reservation of the morning at Beacon Barrel. I will be there at 10 a.m. on Friday, and then I'm flying home at like noon. So I'm going to have my rum, fly home, and be back to my family. So it's a really busy trip with a lot of new things all packed in there, but a lot of like cool, fun, exciting things too. It's not boring to research Disney. Ever.
I can't wait to see Bethany's Italy booth review because it's infamous. Every year we're like, is Italy going to win? It always fails without fail.
She's just really excited about the Italy menu this year. And I'm just skeptical. I'm just always skeptical. Because
it always sounds like a bad Trader Joe's meal. So,
yes. They've just pulled out frozen noodles and like a jar of sauce. That's typically what it seems like, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how Italy does this year.
Let's talk some Disney book recommendations.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm looking behind me for those listening to the podcast because I have bookshelves behind me and I own a lot of Disney books. I read a lot, like not Disney too. It's interest, like when you write a Disney book, yes, you need to read other Disney books, but also I have a very intense job. I mean, I'm not a doctor, I'm not saving lives, but I work in healthcare software and I'm doing a lot of really intense thinking all day. And then I write this book at night. So when I read fluff, like I just read pure fluff, Emily Henry, Allie Hazel, give me the fluff.
And so Becky, you'll come back and talk about all your not like your fiction because I read those books and that's like my
first. Gladly. So like, that's cool. I just need something I can mentally check out. But I do read a bunch of Disney books too. One that I have reread multiple times and here's on my desk is Bob Iger's book, The Ride of a Lifetime. So it talks about his first tenure as the CEO of Disney. It was written after he had retired. Now he's back. But it gives a lot of stories about his time as CEO, but then it also gives leadership advice and sort of how he approaches leading such a massive company, but with empathy and with a focus on characters and storytelling and yes, magic. So I have reread that one multiple times and have actually given conference talks about the lessons I have learned from The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger. I have two girls. They are 9 and almost 7. She will remind you that she is almost 7. And I am very intentional about giving them strong women role models. Yeah. So we have a lot of books about women in general, women in technology, women in science, women in engineering, but we have a lot of books about women in Disney too. So this one is Women of Walt Disney World Imagineering, and it's 12 female Imagineers. And like they wrote it about their time in Imagineering and things that they contributed. So I really love that one too. And then my final recommendation, anything written by Marty Sklar. Marty Sklar has done something like probably 12 books, not actually 12, but Dream It, Do It is one of his. Travels with Figment, anything by Marty Sklar. Marty Sklar started working for Disney as like a communications writing a newsletter when Disneyland opened. And he went from that to running Imagineering. And he's responsible at the heart for many of the parks, whole parks that we all know and love, like Epcot and others. Marty Sklar is a legend. And anything that he writes is incredible. So I own all of Marty Sklar's books.
Oh my gosh. These are great recommendations. I really love this. I also love just candidly hearing all of the things about Disney. As someone who likes Disney, but loves to consume the content from it. Yep. I think it's just, it feels like you're part of the park. So you're part of the space. And I think that's what social media has allowed us to do, to experience what the food is and to understand like the nuances. Like I now know that Italy doesn't have good food. And so I can right. avoid it, but I go to Cava for my tequila margaritas. Like yes. I now know where I need to go. And I think that's right. wonderful for influencers like yourself, like content creators who actually, not influencers, content creators who are creating yep. content that actually is valuable to not only enjoy the trip, but also savor the trip planning or savor the experience back. So,
yes, it's to cut through all of the options to really like, so that way you don't have to go into the parks and guess with your money, yeah. right? And your yeah. time, make the most of it.
Awesome. Becky, tell us where you can find you online.
Sure. So my Instagram page is Raising Mini Me's, mini as in the mouse, not mini as in small, Raising Mini Me's. I post there 4 times a week with food information, with strategies for in the parks, mostly it's very data driven. Although after a trip, I'll typically do some features about what life was like in the parks. So you can find me there. I also blog for Touring Plans, touringplans.com. They have a blog. I blog once a week there. It's called the Disney Data Dump. And that is a weekly refresh in all the most up-to-date data, how crowded the parks were, what was breaking down the most, what actual wait times were like, all of the everything you could want for that most refreshed information to be able to figure out what your trip might be like in the next coming weeks. So those are the main two places that you'll find me online.
Thank you, Becky, for being on the show.
Yeah, really happy to join you. Thank you.
Awesome. If you enjoyed the podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.